Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Double Clowns podcast with me, Robin Welch.
James Welch.
James, how are you?
Yeah, I'm actually really good. It's a beautiful sunny day. And listen, I don't usually care for sunny days or summer in any way. But when you spent the last month with rain, with two dogs who just want to play in the garden.
Yeah.
Whose feet you have to keep wiping and mopping the floor. Mm. A sunny day, two sunny days in a row where you could just leave the door open and let them do their thing is a blessing.
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good news for everyone. I actually can't wait to kind of just let them do their own thing. Well, open the front door, let them out. No.
Here's some money if you need to get a bus or something.
No, oh my God, can you imagine? Listen, James.
Yeah.
Question for this lovely day. Yeah. Lovely day. Anything you've been loving?
Do you know what, actually, and I swear I spoke about this brand last time, but For Free Beauty, their Cloudbank Milky Cleanser. Now, I'm not sure if I'm more impressed by For Free Beauty than I thought I would be because I thought less of them initially. Didn't mean I thought they were like a cute brand that had decent products for like
because
a younger
like,
audience.
Yeah, because they're like a sub of Colourpop.
Colourpop, right? Yeah. And all their products are actually colourful as well.
Drugstore, really affordable.
Yeah.
10% off with code Robert10.
Do you actually get 10% off For Free?
I think it's just Robert. Okay, yeah, I can't remember if it's Robert or Robert 10, but Colourpop and For Free. I mean, don't feel pressure to use.
No, I will genuinely use that though, because I keep buying from For Free.
Yeah, use my code. What, save some money? Oh my God.
Okay, I will. But this is their Milky Cleanser, and I describe it in my up and coming video. It's like a watered down moisturizer. That's how soft and gentle it feels on the skin. It's got nothing special in it. It's like a few nice surfactants, some moisturizing ingredients, a few oils, some hydrating ingredients like glycerin. So it doesn't completely strip your skin of all your natural oils and all that kind of stuff. Very basic, but very, very, very nice. Very affordable.
Mm. That's the body one?
No, this is Cloudbank Cleanser.
Oh.
Yeah, festival cleansers for your face oils.
Nice.
Yeah.
Festive.
Robert, listen, we've got a busy episode, but we do need to know what you've been labbing.
Yes, listen, I love myself a good balsam.
You love a balsam.
No, what is balsam?
Lip balm. I don't know what balsam is.
Isn't that stuff that's like for when you have a snotty nose and you need to inhale it?
Maybe like Vicks balsam. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. So I love myself a good multifunctional salve. And this is from a brand called Lanolips.
So it'd be lanolin, right?
It's basically just lanolin, and obviously that's not great for the vegans out there.
Yeah, other sheeps.
But I love a set, like things that come in a set, right? Or things that don't really come in a set, but like collect them all, like Pokemon. Mm. And they do all these little ones. There's like watermelon, apple,
peach. Hi.
Raspberry, and there's a banana one for the lips. However, the big one, this I actually got this free because I ordered like one, two, three, four things from them, and they gave me something free. Like I just, you know, like it was some kind of crazy purchase, which is great because it's a full size free. Now this is called the Everywhere Multi Cream All Over. I was sitting at my desk the other day, I don't know what day it is, so I had to say the other day. And I was like, oh my God, my hands are so... My hands have got to a point where they're so dry, they're sore, like on my little finger. Never happened to me in my life before COVID and having to sanitize or wash my hands all the time. And my lips were cracking up. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna open this and just see. And I used up my hands and I used up my lips. And it was the most... I think with lanolin, you expect like a really thick, greasy, leftover film on the skin. Yeah. And it really wasn't like that at all. It was a little bit like thick still, but it wasn't greasy and horrible. It was really, really nice.
Okay. Right. Robert, what's happening today? It's a special episode.
So we recorded an episode of the Breaking Beauty podcast with Jill Dunn and Carlene Higgins.
Yeah.
And we were so... I was like, they messaged like, do you kind of want to like collaborate? And I was like, but why us?
Yeah.
They've had so many incredible... Yeah. They've had so many incredible guests on their podcast. And we did an episode with them talking all about celebrity releases. So celebrity beauty brands. We covered J.Lo, Pharrell, About Face, Something Else.
Lauren Conrad,
Catherine Zeta-Jones. Well, touched I don't know on. If we did cover that. I think we skimmed past it. But we did an episode with them. And this is our episode. We invited them on our podcast also to talk about iconic moments, iconic people, and iconic brands and products within the beauty industry.
They are both beauty editors, so they've seen trends come and go, products stay as well, and brands like really build up into these iconic brands. So we really wanted their input and what they thought were true iconic products.
Yeah, exactly.
Should we just get on with it?
Perfect people. Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Don't forget to check out their episode with us. That'll be up, I guess. I think it's the same time as we're putting ours up now. So go ahead and check theirs out. Also, we'll leave a link to everything also on our Instagram at the Double Cleanse Podcast. Well, welcome back. So we are joined by Jill and Carlene. Hey.
Hello.
Hey. Beauty.
Thanks so much for having us.
Of course, pleasure. So we've just recorded an episode with you, which I believe will be up same time, where we spoke about celebrity brands and the kind of truth about them and how we feel about them.
The good and the bad.
Yeah, and there was a few little secrets snuck in there, wasn't there?
Some tea spilling that you must go and listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those who aren't familiar with your podcast, can you just tell us what it's all about? And you two as individuals as well, your experience in beauty, because you've had some amazing guests on your podcast as well.
Including us.
Yes, that's right.
Most recent guests are the most impressive and most important, of course.
Well,
I guess I'll start. I'm Jill Dunn, and Carlene and I started our podcast 4 years ago last week. We dropped our first episode, and our show is called Breaking Beauty because we really wanted to capture the stories behind the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. So we really started out talking to beauty brand founders about how they got started in the industry. And we really wanted to sort of like unpack the stories behind these iconic products that are on all of our top shelves. And the two of us, Carlene and I, met because we were beauty editors at magazines for quite some time. And we would end up going on press trips together and we really bonded. And we would always have these great stories coming back from press trips, talking to founders like Lev Glasman or from Fresh or any innumerable brand founders that you actually got to spend extended time with. And you'd be kind of hanging off their every word, and you go back to the magazine and there would be like, you know, such little space to talk about. Yeah. You're like, well, I can't tell them about the time we did shots together at the bar at the end of the night. So I guess I'll just talk about the new lip product. So so we just knew that there was a lot of rich content there with founders. And since then we have, I think our audience has come to trust us for our product reviews because we have tested so much stuff in the industry over the years. And so now we've kind of evolved into talking about what's new, what's next, what's happening, the breakthrough products, kind of just like cutting through the clutter in the industry and telling people what's worth the money. And so we have a mix of founders on our show. And we also talk to a lot of estheticians and skincare experts and industry experts to get their expertise on, like, you know, what makes a good sunscreen or how you can get your body ready for the summer from head to toe kind of thing. So so that's that. And I don't know, Carlene, if you would add anything else.
I think that's about it. We just, we basically have taken all of our magazine skills as editors and just, you know, translated it into the audio world. And I think the timing was really great for that because magazines have shrunk so much, which was kind of a sad state of affairs, frankly. And I think that's why you do see so many journalists who have gotten into podcasting, because for us, it translates so much better our skills. You know, we're not makeup artists first. So to go to YouTube and start it on a visual medium doesn't make as much sense. So yeah, we just really focus on trying to edit down what we know people, what has worked for us before. People really want the tips, you know, the how-to tips. They want some takeaway. They want to know what's good and they want to know it fast. So we kind of just try and bring that to the podcast space.
Yeah, that's what I do love about your podcast, because we tend to have like a set topic for each episode, and sometimes you do, but I love the episodes where you kind of go through a few things and you know like you're so good at describing products. I know it sounds really stupid, and we're like, I'm opening it now and it's beige,
the packaging is
we're terrible. But I think what I love about your podcast is you're so good at, like you say, decluttering. There's like what feels like 1,000 launches every week.
Absolutely.
Right.
So it's so nice to hear people with your experience just kind of go through what is kind of like worth the money and worth the effort. Aww. I guess, as well.
And I think
we get so excited when people DM us, and I think we were living in this void, this black hole working at magazines, and it was so wonderful and glossy. And sometimes I like look back at that time and I was like, was I like playing magazine? Like, was that a real job? You know what I mean? And now it's like, and you would just publish it and you'd be proud of your work, but it went into the ether and you never heard another word about it, basically. And now we get DMs all the time. People are like, I bought this because of you recommending it. And so we just take that, you know, maybe it sounds a bit cheesy, but we do take it really seriously, and we want people to know our personal experience, and if it works for them, great. And we don't want people like spending money on stuff that we don't, you know, really think is great or whatever.
And I think that's one of the most important things at the moment, is we are bombarded with launch after launch after launch. So to have that broken down, to be like, this is worth your money, because it needs to be worth money.
But if you also do just buy everything.
That's also a true aspect of my life. But I think for people who want to be like a little bit more, I mean, I'm bored now of spending money on skincare. I don't understand skincare. So it's nice to have that thing where it's broken down and it's like, this is worth it, this isn't. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Because people just want to spend money on, I think we have a fear of missing out on a lot of launches.
We get FOMO with launches now.
Yeah.
Right?
So to have someone else be like, no, don't bother, that's really important and actually a really good thing to have, because otherwise it will be a room. Oh, wait, this is a room
for
things.
A room.
But I mean, like, from the floor up, it will be.
Literally sitting in
the storage. Don't even get me started on that.
Oh, God. Oh, impossible.
Yeah. Do you have guilt about throwing products away? Even if you know,
or not using them, or just storing them behind. Do you know what I mean? Yes. Like not getting through it all.
Yeah, I did have that. That was really tough for me. I think especially in my magazine editor days, is that I would have so much stuff at home, and it was just like the pace that you have to be testing stuff and using stuff. It's like, you can't stick with it to the end. But my natural, the way that I am, I hate throwing things out when they're not finished. Same. So I've got a whole system now, like with my girlfriends, where they come over and they're close to me, so they don't mind stuff that I've stuck my finger in, you know what I mean? So I try to throw out the least amount as possible, and then like donate stuff, sell stuff, donate money. You know, there's a whole system going on. I try not to feel guilty anymore. And I really do think about it as my job. And I think that goes back to my magazine days. True. So that's why, like, I never say I was gifted this, because that's my job. Like when I worked at a magazine, I would go to the, you know, the beauty closet, pull something out, try it, write about it. I would never have thought about that as a gift. So I just can't, I still am in that mindset. Do you know what I mean? Like I just think of it as like, this is my job. This is what I'm here to do. I'm going to use it. I'm going to tell you about it. That, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is something I struggle with as well. Because when there was this whole trend on TikTok, which I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be with the kids. And there's this whole trend of showing your skincare collection. And I was like, people are like, do it. And I'm like, there were so many things that came up with just showing one like cabinet full of skincare. People were like, so much plastic, you're never going to get through it. What a waste. So I had to make a separate video to be like, this is the system I have. Yeah. My friends, when my friends come over, they grab a box and they go shopping
in my room.
You know, you can donate, you know, like all these many things that a lot of people don't consider. But yeah, I still do have guilt sometimes of, oh, I bought that. Like, why haven't I used it? Like, I should try and use that now.
And like, I've got so much stuff, let me buy some more pads.
But then again, it is my job. And hopefully me having all this stuff means so many other people don't go out and buy all this.
That's
very
right.
True. Good point.
So
that's
I'm right.
saving plastic somewhere. That's
circle of life.
That's the takeaway.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So with your experience and the amount of amazing people you talk to and the brands that you must have tried, and I think about how much I've tried, I can only imagine how much you've yeah. tried as well with your jobs. Have probably come across so many iconic skincare and makeup products, actual iconic skincare
and people.
But you must have seen like brands come and go as well. So we thought we'd talk about actual iconic products,
yeah.
ones that we think are sticking around, ones that change the face of the skincare and beauty realm today.
As we were saying, there's so many launches. I feel like for a long time, there hasn't been an iconic product that's been launched in a long time. I think there are a load of products that are filtering down from iconic products. And there's always iconic products you associate with brands. And now I cannot think of a newer brand who has an iconic product. So I think it's a nice thing to look back at and think, oh, this brand really started it, or this person really started it.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that.
But that's yeah. a nice finish, yeah. yeah. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I love this topic. I mean, this is why we, on our show, we talk about the breakthrough moments in people, because that's pretty much why I fell in love with beauty, is because I feel like it really is just one lens into the world and into society. And it really does mirror like what we're thinking and what we're feeling. And I think the prime example of that is MAC Cosmetics. And I know Robert, as like a former MAC makeup artist, like you're going to know everything that I'm talking about, but I really drank the Kool-Aid on that one, because yeah. we interviewed Frank Toscan ourselves. No, so this was yeah. a few years ago now. It was one of our earlier episodes. And of course he's no longer with MAC, so it's not that easy to get an interview with Frank. And he's based here in Toronto. So we went to his condo in Yorkville and like sat in his living room. And I just felt like that brand is just pure nostalgia to me. And I know probably yeah. for you guys as well, and so many listeners, growing up like in the 90s, it was not the cornucopia of Sephora brands that you see today, you know? And I just felt like MAC was so breakthrough, having those like powerful colors that, you know, was yes. for makeup artists first.
Yeah.
And so that was the first introduction for me of just like the magic of makeup. And then of course it was everything that it stood for, you know, the tagline, all ages, all races, all genders. Like I really feel that that paved the way to all of the inclusive brands that we see today, this wave.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But MAC had to do like the hard work.
Yeah.
When it came to that, do you know what I mean? Like their
100%
makeup artists were working at counters at a time when you didn't wear your flag like proud, high and
right.
proud. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And Frank
exactly.
shared that story with us about being in one of the big retailers here in Canada and being stuck in like the back corner. They're like, okay, yeah. we're so gonna test
misfits.
You out in this like
yeah.
dark corner and just see how you do. And other stories where they were like picketing at stores in, I think it was San Francisco or something, to have transgender people be able to work at the counter and like kind of live openly. And so those were fights that the Frank and Frank Angelo had to kind of fight to get us to where we are today. And then, you know, of course, you guys know about Viva Glam and the MAC AIDS
yes,
Fund, and they've
yeah.
raised like $500 million now.
It's crazy, yeah.
With that,
so much.
And just everything, like even the Back to MAC program, you think about
yeah.
that, like
yeah.
six empty lipsticks, you get a free lipstick. That's, who else is giving away makeup like
right?
that?
Yeah.
Right?
I think like you say, when I first started with MAC, I was 17 when I got my first job with MAC, just turning 18. And I was used to, we live in just south of London, and I was used to makeup counters very much being, we had what, Clinique, Clarins,
Estee Lauder,
Lancome,
they wish Bobbi Brown. We didn't have Bobbi Brown.
No, Bobbi Brown.
And it was all very much like your auntie worked there. You know, it was someone else's grandmother right. worked there. And then I remember going to Mac, and it was almost slightly intimidating when I applied to work there, because I walked into, this was Selfridges and Oxford Street in London, the biggest counter in the department, and it was crazy. There was a whole vibe around it. It was like you're on a night out, but also you're shopping for makeup. And everyone looked incredible. Yeah. It was true artistry on a counter. And everyone was their own main character in a way, if that makes sense. And everyone was a standout person. And I just remember seeing men in makeup. And I was like, that's not what happens.
Bearing in mind where
home.
We're from, we are probably the darker skinned people around, even though we're still quite light skinned.
Yeah, it's not very diverse at all.
Yeah, there was probably no other gay people around. No. Like, that you know of, you know, openly. And as crazy as it gets, it's like wearing like a blue t-shirt, around
and
here.
And white jeans.
Yeah. Crazy. So it was a culture shock in a way.
It was,
as well.
It was, but I loved it. It was great. Yeah. I learned with Mac, like you said, I have such a huge nostalgia with Mac because I learned everything I learned. I knew very, very basic. Terrible basic makeup.
Awful,
right?
I remember when he used to practice on me and mum, it was
I used to be like, this is awful, it's going on. Yeah. But Max taught me everything I knew, and it was always about the artistry. It was always very fashion. It was always pulled from Fashion Week, what was happening on the runway. Mm-hmm. And then to know that you were with a brand who was behind that anyway, it's like, we're setting the trends, we're setting everything. The collections were incredible. Mm-hmm. Everything was the height of makeup artistry, mm-hmm. and the height of fashion, and the height mm-hmm. of being diverse and accepting, and all these other things. I have so many. I still keep some stuff I have from Mac, the Hello Kitty collection. I still have some of the packaging still. Who was the designers? They did the collection with Faffy. Is it Faffy? Is that what it's called?
They've done so many.
There were so many. Just amazing, amazing collections. And I thank Mac for everything I know about makeup and every experience I had with makeup. I would not be doing makeup or had any of the jobs I did. Even if you say to someone, trying to network in London at that time was really difficult. Impossible. If you told someone I'm a Mac artist, they'd be like, oh, perfect.
You're in straight away.
Yeah.
Well, they know like you've got your training and you've got it down. And so many successful makeup artists have come from a Mac background, you know, and to your point.
Are you okay?
I do that all the time.
Did you see what just happened?
My drink is splashed in my
eye. Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
The splashback right in the eye. That happens to me a lot. My contact lenses. And like, I have so many fond memories of being backstage at Fashion Week, you know, as a magazine editor. I'd be in New York or London and interviewing, you know, Charlotte Tilbury backstage doing Matthew Williamson or whatever. And they really did set the trends, and they still do. And I also have respect, because a lot of brands, when the founders leave, they just completely crumble and fall apart. And I don't think with Mac, there was a bit of a lag to get into digital and get into influencers. But I think, relatively speaking, that branding is so strong. It's like, it will never die. Yeah. You'll always, they'll always embrace that culture that they created at the makeup counter. And I think they changed the makeup world forever.
100%. Yeah.
So influential.
Yeah, there's still bits of them. I do kind of have sometimes a disappointment with Mac nowadays, and I blame retail in general, because I feel like that's kind of gone downhill. And I do have, because I have such great memories with Mac, I'm like, why isn't it like it was before? You know, and I do sometimes get a bit disappointed, but they still have, again, like those iconic strobe cream, Studio Fix, you know, Fix Plus, all these iconic products that brands have emulated and copied slightly.
I mean, you still hear people to this day, even though Mac isn't as, you know, popular on YouTube, I guess, as a platform, you still hear people saying, oh, I'm this code foundation. This is what this is similar to. Exactly. You know? So there's still those people still comparing to what I guess is like the standard of makeup, which is Mac.
Very true.
And even that they didn't name their shade. Their shades were numbers, right? Like, even that was so forward thinking.
Mm, yeah.
And I just feel like the whole inclusivity piece, like, so many, and Frank talks about this in our interview, but there were so many women of color who that frankly, it was their only option to go to Mac. There was just no other place to go. And Matt, Frank Toskin talks about, you know, some of his Black female friends coming to his kitchen. He'd mix up the color for them and, like, sort of off they went. And it just really, and the messaging at the time from the beauty industry was like, well, people won't buy that, or we can't do that. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm doing it every single day.
You can do it. Yeah.
So, and, you know, so I feel like that really was so breakthrough as well in terms of just, like, the inclusivity. It's like, no, this is, makeup is about expression, and it's also about feeling good. And they just touched on every cornerstone of what it means to feel, I think, beautiful and people doing it in their own way. And I just, I love that. And then, of course, they have, there's sort of a new incarnation of, from the original founders of MAC, right, Carlene? That you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, actually, Jill, you sat in on the desk side, so you're probably better able to speak to it. But I think that idea, like we're talking about, is how is MAC evolving? Well, it's interesting if you look at the original players, how they're kind of, what MAC would look like if it was reborn today, which is Mob Beauty.
Yeah, so have you heard of have you heard of Mob Beauty?
No,
it's called, it's MOB. That's what it's spelled, or how it's spelled. And so it's basically what MAC, it's like the performance of MAC, but all of the color cosmetics are sustainable and all of the formulas are quote unquote clean. So it's the packaging is all refillable.
Write this down.
Here it is. This is the palette, and you buy, so this is the full face palette, and it's like 1, 2, 3 blushes. There's a highlight in here, and then there's 6 eyeshadows, and you can just buy these individually and like create your own palette.
Nice.
And it's made from, like, they've thought about every single aspect of how they can make this more sustainable, and they realize it's sort of like a moving target, if you will, but it's truly one of, I think, just born as a passion project. And they're like, at this point in all of their careers, it's co-founded by Vic Casale. And I think Frank Toskin is also consulting behind the scenes, but it's basically like, if we're putting stuff out into the world, it has to make sense and it has to be sustainable. And so all of these, you pop in yourself, and the performance is just as good as MAC. So if people are out there and they want it more, I'm going to grab the paper tube. I just want to show you what it looks like.
And Jill mentioned Vic Casale. So he was the product developer behind the MAC, the actual MAC formulas, and like,
you know,
lip gloss and like all of the big hits.
So each of the colors, so this is one of their lipsticks. It comes in these cardboard, paper recyclable sort of flats, I guess you would say. And then you pop this tube into the lipstick tube, which you can recycle over and over again. And so I just love the whole ethos behind it. And it's, if people are like, I need clean makeup that doesn't move and it performs like as well as MAC, this is definitely something to check out.
I love that.
Yeah,
love
they just launched it.
Yeah, I love that new kind of like, why do we not have so many refillable things? Why does everything have to be like, just throw the whole thing away, you know, all the time? That's why, like you said, the Back to MAC recycling program is great as well. But to have that option to just be like, you know what, I fancy a new one, I'm just going to swap them out. It's really cool. I like it. Like M-O-B, MOB, like M-O-B Beauty.
Yes.
I've written it down. And they were looking.
It definitely is like, they're like, you know, MOB for change. And he talks, they're just very, very passionate about every single aspect of the formulations and the packaging and everything. And I think it's definitely the future.
But I think it definitely goes back to that idea where they, like, if you go to their website, it's about makeup artistry. So same like MAC, it was like makeup art cosmetics. They're like, basically, if it doesn't pass like a makeup artist test in terms of performance, and it doesn't tick the box about sustainability and vegan and all that, then they're not going to bring it to market. So they're only bringing things to market that ticks both of those boxes. And I think what they've realized is that makeup artists, and I've been on set with a lot of makeup artists and they talk about it all the time, they're really interested in like a more responsible version of beauty. Like they're really interested in sustainability. They're really interested in good for you ingredients and all of that. But they obviously have to have that performance. They can't show up on set with like just RMS and Cure Weiss in their kit or whatever, right? Exactly, it's like, yeah. So I think that's the idea, is that this is like the new age version of MAC is what they're trying to go to market with. But it's a slow build. I think they're doing it on a bit of a shoestring, because they don't have a marketing blitz happening.
Right.
That's right. That's when you know it's true passion, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It's not rushed. It's not like, oh, we're just making some crazy packaging. But it's great to see a brand again bringing out the clear lids, first of all, and then all the like customizing options, because it's so difficult now. Unless you go to MAC or a brand like Inglot, for example, it's really difficult to customize your own palette to a point where it's, you know, not some crazy packaging, because I think a lot, I said earlier, oh wait, in the other podcast, but I can be sold on packaging alone, but in my kit I like plain, sleek, and that's why I loved MAC, because everything was black, everything had a clear lid. It was very like user friendly. Well, didn't have a clear lid back in the day, I would label it, but now they have clear lids and you know you can see everything, so yeah, it makes more sense to be, when you said that professionals like to use it, that's one thing I look for in brands as well, and I think that's why MAC spoke to me so much, because it's like the top of people are using it, you know.
And James, when you were saying before about getting like roasted on TikTok because you had too much plastic, like I think what we're kind of we're very nostalgic for MAC, but I think we can sometimes forget it did launch 37 years ago, so there is a whole market with Gen Z that don't know about MAC, and I think they kind of see it as a bit old and dusty, and in fact no, it's very, very trailblazing, and to the point where the minds that were behind that, they're doing it, you know, again, where they're sort of evolving, you know, with Mob Beauty. So because we know that MAC Cosmetics is now owned by Estee Lauder, so you know, I definitely think it's one to watch.
Yeah, that sounds really promising. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
That sounds really good. Yeah. Nice. Sure. Do you want to go?
Yeah, I might go. Mine's a little bit different.
I might go. Mine's a little bit different too. I guess he's iconic. I want to talk about Max Factor, the guy. Maximilian something.
Factor.
No. Done his research.
Maximilian Factor. And not just him being him, but something that he kind of created in the makeup industry. And that was bringing it to everyone that you can look like this celebrity kind of aspect to makeup. So we all know he made the pancake foundation, which was made to be put in shops and to be accessible to everyone, and it kind of went along with a tagline like, this is the one we use in Hollywood, this is the one where you can look like you're, you know, a famous actress. And I kind of want to touch upon, so it's not necessarily a person or a product, but that kind of iconic, like, you could be this too kind of aspect of beauty, and how kind of like that's affected beauty in general. Have we kind of lost that at the moment, or are we still on that point of, we just spoke about celebrity brands on your podcast, and so is that still something we look for, is you can look like this too in beauty, you know? I think back in those kind of Hollywood times, that's such an iconic look itself, like, of course everyone wanted to look like that,
and it was like the only look though, wasn't it?
I think it was, well, I mean, 80s,
like one of the only, you know? Right?
Yeah. 90s. But I think it's really interesting that he kind of came up with this concept. I don't think it was in his mind to want to push out to the masses and be like, he invented makeup to make it easy for him to use and for makeup artists to use backstage. And he was kind of, I don't want to say pressured, but there was an idea of like, no, come on, let's do this, you know?
Well,
like,
let's sell it to the masses.
And then I find it was really, I find it really interesting that someone came up with that idea that like, people want to look like celebrities. And we can go really far back in history and be like, people wanted to look like the queen or the king of that time. But it wasn't exactly the same product. And Max Factor introduced that this is the exact product that we use on celebrities.
Behind the scenes. I totally agree.
I think you actually bring up an interesting point, because hopefully everyone's going to go over and listen to our celebrity beauty episode on Breaking Beauty podcast. But one of the things I think you're touching on there is with the celebrity beauty, it is a bit of a facade, because, you know, when you talk about Max Factor, that's exactly the point. Like, he was the genius behind the scenes making these celebrities look like celebrities, frankly.
Exactly, yeah.
And even Jill touched on it when she said, like, that whole J-Lo glow was Scott Burns.
Yes,
and so now what you're seeing is like, it's a bit of a facade, right? It's like, this packaging by my product, but they like they're not the ones who create the magic when it comes to their look. Yes. And sometimes I do wonder that when some of these celebrities who have high profile makeup artists behind them, how they feel. You know, like if Selena had come out with this killer eyeshadow palette, is it Hung who's her makeup artist? Hung Van Gogh?
Yes, Hung
Van Gogh. Like how would he feel? Or even I always wondered between Makeup by Mario and Kim Kardashian, I was like, shouldn't he be cashing in? Like before he created his
That's
line.
Something I've always wondered. I thought like you might know, is there an agreement there?
I know, right?
I guess they maybe work on their like promotional shots and things like that. But like you said, it's like say I'm a celebrity. And you're my makeup. We could probably should have done the other way. And you're my makeup artist. And then I was like, no, say I'm a skin. You know, I'm 17 and you're my skincare person.
What are we?
I'm setting up an example. And then I come out with skincare, not knowing anything about skincare because you've been my dermatologist
looking after you.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm just doing this now.
Yeah,
and then, like you know, going in my own direction. How would you feel?
I'd want money from you.
I would want money.
I want a lot of money from you. But like you say, it's like the what like iconic Kim. Obviously, she didn't invent it, but the Kim K contour. Was set the trend for what felt like a million years of people contouring. How must the makeup artist have felt I think I did that for you?
Totally. But I think what is very interesting and should be mentioned is that these people often get together when they're really young and both inexperienced in their careers, and they rise to the top together. There's so many examples. Gucci Westman and Cameron Diaz. There's a whole YouTube that they did together about like, oh my God, remember when I did your makeup for like Something About Mary? And then for this shoot. And then I had to go on a press tour for Something About Mary and I knew you. So I called you. And they get this, like, it's almost like simpatico where they're coming up at the same time. You can look at Lizzo's makeup artist, same thing. Lizzo kind of like shot to fame, was on the cover of Vogue, and her makeup artist was like, holy shit, I just did a Vogue cover because of their relationship with the celebrity. And so you can't discount that. I think they look at each other as kind of like they can trust that person and they rise up together. Where like a Kim K, is she going to trust somebody random when she gets to that level? I think there's that relationship shouldn't be overlooked.
Mm. Yeah, that's very true. It's almost like you're
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Success is my success, and we've done this together.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. When it's done well. When it's done well. There are lots of falling outs, but, you know.
Very true. Money can change people.
Absolutely. That's so interesting that you talk about Max Factor, Robert, because personally, I've never really even tried any Max Factor products. So what's your favorite?
So I put my hand in my head, like I regret saying this, because it's like, I love the Max Factor pan stick, just the wind up one, the really cheap, really simple, old fashioned. This is a pan. Is the shade range horrendous? Yes, it's terrible.
Awful.
But it feels like
an original, this was, I mean, and it is the original kind of like packaging, a first invented foundation. It just feels like a little bit, I don't know, like it's a part of makeup history. And I love makeup history. So using something like that, yeah. like this is what they would have been using.
Yeah,
this is what Judy, yeah. he would have used on Judy Garland at that time, you know? And it's it smells horrific. I mean, it smells like very heavily perfumed and it's very greasy.
Dolly Parton's good fragrance, potentially.
But maybe her fragrance is a lot nicer.
I trust her.
Yeah. yeah but I just like it. It's a good product, but you can tell yeah. it's very old fashioned. And when I first used it, I was like, oh, this is very 90s. But actually, no, it's very 1920s. Mm. You know, like it is a lot further back right. than that. And their concealers are nice. Their more modern concealers are very nice as well.
I just feel like it's a brand no one talks about anymore.
Again, yeah, right. no. Well, it's not available everywhere. Like it's not in Canada. Really? Not that we're the big authorities. But no, I guess they pulled it years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm actually curious because you mentioned the pancake makeup. And of course, that was the iconic product that Max Factor had created. But have you tried KVD's new Good Apple Skin Perfecting Foundation Balm?
Everyone's going crazy.
Yeah,
about it,
that's
they?
Blowing up on TikTok. I have it here. I should have tried it today, but I didn't. Because as soon as I saw it, I was like, "Is that pancake makeup?"
Yeah,
like Redux.
I feel like pancake came from. The pan stick before that was pure grease. Like the original pan stick had lard in. It was the worst thing ever. So he made something that was more malleable and could move with a face a little bit more and didn't crackle down. So I feel like every cream foundation has come from that basic pancake
formula.
Yeah.
And I feel like without that, maybe we would still have powders and maybe we would still have like weird mixtures and things like that.
I feel like KVD really needed this right now because they've rebranded again, right?
Yeah, I know.
It's tattoo-inspired makeup so now, insane. Isn't it? Or something like that. But to be honest, the results
of that. It stands for three Latin words. It's so
yes. okay, I'm not even going to try that. Yeah.
But you know what? This goes back to what we were talking about again in that episode about whether you should put your name on your makeup brand or not.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is the insurance where some companies that are backing it financially or whatever, they're just like, how about we don't use your name? Because if you pull a massive global fuck up, like become an anti-vaxxer or something.
Yes, exactly.
And we can't sell your shit anymore.
Associate. Yeah, exactly.
You know?
The amount of times I've changed that. To be fair, the formula looks really good when it goes on initially. And, I'm so sorry.
Excuse me.
I had pasta. the formula looks really nice initially, but I was watching one person who I love to watch on YouTube is a girl called Soph, and she just does the most honest makeup reviews ever. She has a release with a makeup brand, and she's always like talking shit about a brand.
Yeah.
but she loves some of their products, and she doesn't like some of their products, and she is so honest. And she used that, it's called Apple Foundation or something like that.
Yeah,
Apple Balm or something.
It's the Good Apple Skin Perfecting Foundation Balm. So it is a balm. Yes. That's what makes me curious.
Yeah. Okay. See, so she used it, went on amazing, but later on just looked like any other cream foundation that would move on your face. A little bit shiny, actually it was quite shiny. It just sat like any other foundation. I am still waiting for the day someone comes up with a really great cream foundation that can sit on anyone's skin. Mm. I would love to wear cream foundation throughout the day, but being oily, I might as well just wipe it off 1 second after I put it on, myself.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the KVD Locket Foundation, so good. Love that.
I still haven't tried her foundations. There's foundations like that I really want to get right, so I don't want to test my shade online, and see.
Yeah.
There's that website, Findation, which always does me dirty all the time. Mm. Everyone's like, use it. I'm like,
I know. I know, because you can't get Sephora, right?
No,
it takes us to the French website.
We can't even go on a website.
It's truly upsetting. That's upsetting.
When I lived in America, I was in there. Even if I didn't buy anything, I went in there every day.
I just want to browse
my VIP card.
Why does Sephora? Why are they not in the UK? Can we just get it on the record once more? Like, what did you guys ever do to them?
Yeah, right. I feel like we try to have it. I feel like they had one here, but like, no offense, the UK.
Yeah,
our makeup brands are so boring, so boring,
so
and
bad.
So like, you look at everything else and you think, oh wow, amazing. MAC coming from Canada, and all these other brands come from all the others, and we have Boots Number 5.
There's Benefit in there sometimes.
Benefits from America.
But this is the thing as well. Is like,
We had Boots and Superdrug, but we don't have these places like Sephora. Well, we have Space NK, but they're not everywhere. And we don't have these places where you can go in and skincare and makeup purely. Fragrance, and you can fragrance, you can find all these the latest trending. Like, it's just literally what's been in Boots for however long next to the sandwiches and the fridge, you know? It's exactly. Like, we don't have anything like that. And we would love, I think it would work so well now. Mm. Sephora has just become.
Yeah, it was probably just ahead of its time, you know? Yeah.
I think so. I think if it came here now, everyone would... I was about to say something really... Everyone would go crazy for it.
Of course.
I think so. Yeah. Absolutely. Just as a side note, Robert, because you said you love the history of makeup. Did you know that there's a makeup museum that just opened in New York?
No.
Yeah, so unfortunately it had a bit of like stumbles out of the gate opening just because of COVID. But they have some really, really cool stuff. Like they have all of Kevin O'Quinn's journals in there they have iconic products. Yeah, like I am so excited to eventually go.
Oh, I want to
and,
go.
Like,
oh,
pour
I love
over
that.
Everything. Yeah. So, you know, definitely mark that on.
Oh, I'm obsessed.
You know, put that
it.
On the travel wish
yes.
list.
Yes. Have you ever seen Lisa Eldridge go through some of her vintage compacts?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's so amazing. She goes through like the weirdest products as well that you didn't even know. It's quite forward thinking for back then. It's like, why did this exist? But she goes through some amazing stuff. She has some really, really amazing like antique pieces as well.
Yeah,
so
nice.
And who's the Besame, I always forget her name, Gabriella, made Besame cosmetics. She has some amazing pieces, and her book is incredible as well. Gabriella Hernandez, I think it is.
I just recently tried that brand. It's very, very cool, very vintage. I
haven't tried it yet.
Yeah,
like the mascara in the tin.
Yeah,
I'm like, what is this?
I have that, and I'm not attempting to use it. Yeah, it's one of the brush that you kind of like.
Yeah, it's it's still sitting in my vanity. I'm like, how does this work?
But mine's just over there. Okay. Nice packaging.
Jill, what do you have for us today?
Oh, okay. Well, I feel like we've kind of like danced around this a little bit, but my iconic moment, for better or for worse, is sort of the era-defining work influence of Kim Kardashian, and I think really the person who's in charge of it all is Kris Jenner. So when you think about them, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, it launched in 2007, and so now they're in their 20th and final season, which is 2001. So we've really seen absolutely every incarnation of this family and what they've been through, and we've seen them grow up and their kids and all of that. You know, Kris Jenner, as I mentioned before, actually that was on our show, but she really is, she was on the Wall Street Journal magazine cover this week, and the tagline was "From Momager to Mogul." And she said that I do have a skincare line that I love that's ready to go when the time is right in a year from now or maybe 2 years from now. And I really think it's important for older women to realize that, you know, that older women can have products too. So I'll be interested to see where that comes from. But in terms of their influence, I really think there's two parts to it. Number one is, of course, the aesthetic. And then number two, like sort of the business model that they have rolled out to, you know, that's basically being copied by every single celebrity who wants to cash in the beauty world. And on a personal note, I met Kim Kardashian in 2010. She came to Toronto to launch her fragrance at the Shopping Channel at the time. And I'll never forget, it was in the Hazelton Hotel, Carlene. It was on the side room where basically there was like people there from the Shopping Channel, executives and things like that. And every major magazine sent their like number two or three.
Yeah, I skipped that event. I remember that event and I was like, meh. Busy.
So it was a licensing deal she had for a fragrance at the time, and just no one cared. I cared because I liked the show. I liked Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So I went, and she was so chill, and she was wearing this like bodycon white dress. Like, this is before she met Kanye. And it just to think of how far she has come from there, that was in 2010 to now.
Was this
pre-sex
tape
incredible.
Or post-sex tape? Because this was back in the beginning.
Where does that fit in with the Kardashian series timeline? Was that before
the sex tape?
Yeah. Was it before the TV series? Mm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, no, you said the series started in 2007. So wasn't it, would have been 3 years later, 3 years into the show?
No, but I think they're asking about the sex tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
okay.
The sex tape was before the, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Okay. But yeah, so she just basically was kind of on the fringes of the beauty world. I remember she also had a contract with like, what was the lip pomper at the time? Lip Fusion Beauty?
Oh, yeah, oh, that was a thing. Lip Fusion, I think.
She had like a contract with them to sort of like promo it. So basically she was on the fringes of beauty, but it wasn't until, you know, I think she got teamed up with Kanye and with Makeup by Mario that she really started to come forward with this aesthetic. So it really defined the last decade, of course. So it's like, and it's been replicated on YouTube and on faces all around the world.
Yeah.
You know, you know, it's like the arched brow, the baked powder contour, color corrected concealer, the neutral lip pencil that's slightly overdrawn, the brown gloss or the new gloss. And I just think feel like that aesthetic is undeniably attached to her.
It defined the last decade. I mean, it did.
Yes.
100%. Right? I remember the first time someone asked me to do their makeup like Kim Kardashian. Mm. I had to Google her. I was like, I have no idea who that is. And I was like, oh, so natural makeup. And I started doing like natural. Now, no, like do the whole thing. Oh, contour thing. I was like, how do you know about contour?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what do you know about contour? Because it was, no one had like heard about it.
It was like contour, you know, K-O-U-N-T-O-U-R. Contour.
I was like someone just released all our secrets. With a K though.
Kardashian.
It was like somebody had been like suddenly all makeup artist secrets were revealed. And I was like, what is going on? And like you said, it kind of set up this whole, even till now, this whole, if people are like, what was makeup like back then? It would be that look. Mm. It would be that single look for the lips, the contour, even the look of just the contour not blended in. That's the look of
that's like
time.
An iconic look in itself. And I feel like there hasn't been for the longest time, like through the 90s, there was what, like, like millennium glittery.
Skinny eyebrows.
Regret eyebrows. But I feel like since that's so iconic and copied and so...
It was a necessity to a makeup routine.
It was like something just everyone had. And like you said, it's just everywhere. I can't remember like what it was like before that.
Well, and not to mention the plastic surgery, right?
Like, well, I was just going to say, so according to the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, between 2000 and 2018, procedures or Google searches for procedures like lip fillers went up by like 256%. Which is a lot of that was actually attributed to butt implants actually and then after Kylie said that she got lip augmentation in 2015 after a year of like denying it, and then she finally said yes, I have had my lips enhanced in 2015, searches for lip fillers went up 3,233%.
That is insane.
My god. I mean, that's what, like, one thing, we don't watch the Kardashians. We don't really know too much about them.
I've seen, like, an episode or two.
I've seen a couple of, but you cannot deny how amazingly successful pretty much anything they do becomes. Mm. And I think, like, a lot of people that slate the Kardashians for, you know, like, they're famous for being famous. You know, like, Paris Hilton, famous for being famous, right? I think it's what they make of it. And I think 100%. They've done incredibly well.
And it just met this moment in time and in history. It's no coincidence that Instagram also launched in 2010. Mm. So she was in control of her message, her filter. Yes. You know, we can't, you know, all of the, how she was, you know, Vogue wouldn't touch her. No magazine would touch her before she got with Kanye, right? Well, they're like, oh, Kim Kardashian, reality TV.
Yeah, who cares? Exactly.
She's just like... bank, like, you know, like, bleep all y'all, I'm gonna do this my way. And they just saw the power in social media right away. And I think that also is what sets them apart in definitely in the business aspect of it. And one funny anecdote that I want to share with you guys is that we had Charlotte Cho, the wonderful creator of Then I Met You, on our podcast a couple of weeks ago, and she created Soko Glam. And she really was talking about when she started talking to North American media about K-beauty and Korean beauty, and every editor was like, Kardashian beauty?
Oh no.
What are you talking about? they thought she was talking about K-Beauty, and so then she had to go one step further and specify that K-Beauty is in fact Korean. This a whole mentioning, or what was she saying? It's the 10 step Korean skincare.
Yeah.
That's what the K-Beauty philosophy was. So I just thought that was so funny. Like, that's how embedded they were in the conscious.
Yes.
At the time.
Well, that's the thing you were saying about how Instagram was kind of launched at the same time. That makeup is known as Instagram makeup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's so all connected so well.
You know what? As much as I hated, I always say this, but the Kim Kardashian contour ruined a big chunk of my makeup artistry career.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because everyone wanted it, and it was this expectation all the time. I was like, no, I can do this with powders over your foundation. But they always wanted it. But I have to, I don't think without that, we would be in a place where people appreciate makeup, skincare, beauty as a technique and as an art and as a process. Mm. Whereas before, it was very much like, put your makeup on, it's all good.
Yeah.
People loved it, people didn't. Whereas now, that instant, like, oh, so that's how that's achieved. There's more to it, there's more secrets to it. And I think people, that's when makeup started to become a hobby for people. Mm. And it wasn't seen as, oh, people wear makeup just to impress people. You know, it was seen more as an art form. And I think without that, I don't think that would have happened. And maybe we wouldn't have had as many beauty influencers because people weren't interested. People wouldn't be so interested.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's, and just as I touched on the second piece about the business model, and I think that is why you're seeing all these celebrity brands now, is they're going, wait, Kylie is 22 or 23 and she's, you know, worth $700 million. That's what Forbes has corrected the figure to. Yeah. And, you know, Kim is close. I think Kim is worth actually $740 million now. And so they're, you know, with Skims and all of these ventures that they've had, yes, of course, social media, you know, really catapulted their success. Mm. But that's why you see, you know, Honest Company and Halsey and Lady Gaga trying to get into the game, because they just see how much money they make. And it, for when you compare it to other celebrities, when other celebrities who have other creative ventures, like being an artist or musician or an actor, they're going to make way more money in the beauty industry.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all just waking up to that idea. And that's, they're like, and I think they're looking to Kris Jenner as like this icon of a businesswoman. And Chrissy Teigen just partnered with her her latest collection with Get Safely, this line of like home care products. So I think you see Chris's influence in all of this, and she's got all of the girls doing their own thing. Chloe's got Good American, Kendall's got the tequila, Kylie's got lip kits. And
so what Jill's Kylie trying to say, that you think that Kim Kardashian is the icon, the myth, the legend, but it's really Chris.
Right. Yes. But it's Chris. Yeah. 100%.
She's definitely the mastermind behind it all. And just before we move on, I do want to talk about two like things I find very problematic about the Kardashians. One is, of course, the blackfishing. So I feel like that term is, if you're not familiar with it, it's stemming from the racist practice of blackface. And they were accused a lot of using makeup to make them look darker than they were.
Yeah.
And I do think that was just not appropriate at all. And I think that was then replicated all around the world also.
Yes. 100%. And then still called the Kim Kardashian look, or Kardashian look, was actually doesn't stem from the Kardashians. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And then I think the second thing, just this Photoshop extremes that they, you know, were really promoting and didn't disclose and all of that. And it ended up like with, you know, Khloe's nose looking very petite.
Insane.
You just sometimes look
absolutely insane. Carly,
Carly, remember those KKW fragrance ads we looked at and we were like, that's not, is that Khloe? Like, it became this like morphed sort of like
she
copycat
did.
Weird face.
Yeah, did she do Ipsy recently where she looked like Beyonce? She looked like old Beyonce. It was insane.
I can't get behind that. And I think we're hopefully moving beyond that. But anyway, I just wanted to
call
them out on that.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
So I'm going to end on a kind of modern icon within the skincare world. And not just because it's selling out everywhere and it's a big seller, but because of how I feel this is such a good example of how influencers and the consumer's voice actually matters when it comes to sales and what brands do. And that's CeraVe. Now, I don't like ceramic. I made it very clear to the point where, you know, for me, I think a lot of people have a lot of different skincare philosophies, and mine is enjoyable process. I want nice packaging. I want nice sensorial experiences with products that work. And I like to look at my skincare as well and see it displayed. CeraVe to me feels like a doctor prescription. You've got something on your face, use this, you know.
Yeah.
But I think why it's done so well, especially during 2020, is because it's just the perfect example of what people want from skincare nowadays, which is simplicity. Does it work? You know, does it just do what it does, says on the tin? And that it's actually dermatologist approved, because that's a very loose term, right, within like skincare. Like, yes, dermatologist tested, approved doesn't mean a whole lot. But also it's been around since about 2016, I believe, and dermatologists, estheticians have always used it. It's their go-to for people with quite problematic skin. But I think the more people got into skincare during lockdown at the start of COVID, people start to realize the importance of caring for it. And, you know, it's not all about taking away layers and scrubbing and trying to get that fresh skin from underneath. And I think CeraVe was the epitome of that.
Oh,
philosophy.
Yeah, I think CeraVe has done well because people loved it on TikTok, if I'm honest.
So this is the thing as well, yeah. So it was huge with dermatologists. I don't know if you know a dermatologist called Dr. Dre. She's amazing. She talks about it all the time because it's the dermatologist go-to. And then it picked up massive speed on Twitter through a lot of the black estheticians who are on Twitter who... what's her name? I think it's Tara, who is so blunt. She's an esthetician. Yeah. Her advice is incredible. And people will tweet her stuff. They'd be like, oh, should I be using this? Blah, blah, blah. And she'd be like, no, don't use that. straightforward, blunt advice. And it's just like, they really kind of picked up the speed of making CeraVe almost a cult product.
It is a cult product.
It is a cult
because
product.
Because people get pissed off when you don't like it.
Don't insult them on YouTube. Don't you'll get hate coming through a week. And then obviously, like, from those people, us like skinfluencers, I believe we're called now. And on TikTok, I think because skincare was such a new realm that not a lot of people had really looked into or discovered pre-COVID. Mm. It was this new exciting brand, which I don't think is new exciting, but you know, it's compared to all the like fluff that we have out there, and the constant new launches and the different ingredients, you know, single ingredient products like The Ordinary, The Inky List. There was this one brand that was just approved, safe and good for you. And I think that's something that people are just looking for.
So just because I like something and I think it's good, but and then millions of people also see me, does it actually mean it's good, or do people get defensive over these things? You know what I mean?
It's a great product, but people get defensive because it works for them. And if you say you don't like it, well, okay, no, this I can talk about this. So the reason people like CeraVe is because it's sensible for skincare. Right. It's not going to do you any bad. It's going to do you some good. Right. Professionals, you know, the most important voices within the skincare realm, dermatologists and estheticians, approve it, basically. Right. So when you then say, I don't like it, it's boring to me, people are like, well, you don't know skincare. It's good for you. And you get the comments like, just use CeraVe. You should just be using CeraVe. And it's like, I want to scream, there's more to skincare and beauty than CeraVe. But it's a product that's been around for years, and again, it's just a perfect reflection of, it's the epitome of what people want in skincare.
I feel like
right
if
now.
It was that good, wouldn't it have been more popular than before? Well,
no, because it's like a dermatologist's secret, right?
Well, I think yes, that's part of it, but I think if I'm being really honest here, I think what really propelled it to a success was the fact that L'Oreal bought it in 2017.
Yes.
For $1 billion.
Never heard of this brand before last year. I thought it was new. I didn't realize it was such a deal.
Yeah, no, they've been around
it was
since
like
the
a
early
Cetaphil.
2000s.
Like, it was just like a Cetaphil. But I think I just think that there's also a difference, though, between people who have quote unquote really problematic skin, you know, or if you're acne positive, that's great. But for what I've seen, when you go down the Reddit rabbit holes and you go down Skincare Addicts and all that,
we don't go on.
There are people who are desperately seeking help for having really inflamed acne. And for those people, you shouldn't be messing around with like Amorovita, Glow Recipe, you know, like the brands that we talk about all the time. We're like, we love it. It's cute. I feel like I'm having a self-care moment. It's just a totally different thing, you know? And I think to a dermatologist, they don't generally see people who have no skin issues. Right. And so they're not going to go in and be like, try the Body Shop. Like they're, you know, right. It's like people are going in because they're desperate for help. And so at that point, they really are like, they're a doctor. So they're going, you need something that does not contain anything that's going to be potentially irritating. You know, you need this tried and true ingredient. We know that ceramides is great for skin barrier repair. Everybody needs that regardless of your skin type or tone or anything. And so I get that, and it's inexpensive. So for Generation TikTok, they're just like, hey, I can afford this with my allowance or whatever.
It's a little more, a little less intimidating than like the ordinary, right? Which can be kind of overwhelming for people to try. And I also think the other reason CeraVe has been really popular at this moment in time is that I think it's on the heels of everybody overdoing it with acid toners.
Right. So it's
They've messed up their skin or they've compromised the barrier, like you said, James. And they're just like, oh, undo. Yes. What do I do? Yes. And so they just like get rid of everything on their top shelf.
There seems to be this trend of last year, it was like, take all your skin off.
Yeah, and then use all these acids.
Yeah. And then towards the end of it, it was like, what have you done? Let's repair your skin.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you want from us? Yeah. And I find you mentioned The Ordinary as well. And quite an intimidating brand. I do find, I've mentioned this before in our podcast, The Ordinary confuses me. Numbers, percentages, letters everywhere. I don't know what we're going on
about The Ordinary.
I do not know what's going on with The Ordinary. And I feel like, again, it kind of like, it's... Or The Ordinary, as much as I'm like confused by it, again has shown that there is a science to skincare to a lot of people that maybe thought skincare was just for people who need to start, you know, anti-aging or did have acne or had something they wanted to repair on their face. So I think The Ordinary, as confusing as it is to me, I think again it opened the door to like this whole skincare kind of world.
It changed. Yes, it's changed the entire industry forever because they just ripped back the curtain and they were like, actually, these ingredients are really inexpensive and we're going to show you and we're going to make them all $9 and they're going to be in cute little no-frills bottles. And I think that in my opinion, the danger with The Ordinary is that they're so affordable that you see people do the unboxings all the time, right? They get their package from The Ordinary at home and it's like 10 serums. They're like, okay, now what? What do I do?
10-step skincare routine. So then, here we go.
The power of the recommendation and the routine and like people knowing what to do with these things, then I think that gets a lot of people interested in skincare and the journey. But I agree, it's a bit of a double-edged sword that way because people can afford them all, so they just buy them all. And then they're like, what do I do now?
Exactly. This is going back to going back to like the TikTok realm, which again we're not familiar with. there was this challenge of The Ordinary's AHA peeling mask, where people would see how long they could leave the product on for before it started really burning their
face.
Which mask
is this?
And you know, The Ordinary's AHA BHA peeling
mask. It's like the red one.
The red one.
The red one.
So they'd be doing derma rolling. Oh, do they not? Because of the percentage.
In Canada, they don't.
It's for the best. But this is the thing is, a lot of people, The Ordinary made the science behind skincare look so simple in a way that it made it a little less intimidating to the point where like, oh, so these must be okay to put on my skin. But then what's one thing I noticed on YouTube and as far as content creation goes and the conversation around The Ordinary is, first came The Ordinary and all the amazing ingredients they made. Then came the, hang on, what do I actually need from this? And what do they actually mean? Then, wait, what can and can't I mix together? Because some are acid, some are high percentage, you know, some make your skin more sensitive. To now, let's bring it back down again and really think, like, do we actually need any of these? So it was amazing in the sense that now I feel people, first of all, hyaluronic acid has been around for what? But people are now just discovering it. And I do think it's down to The Ordinary being like, this is used for this. This is used for this. This is used for that.
Right.
And discovering ingredients that we would never have heard of before. But I do feel now people want
fully packaged products again, to mm-hmm. the point where rather than being like, so how many of these serums do I need to even out my skin tone? I just want a skin evening serum, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's yeah. where, I think they're going to be around forever. They're inexpensive. Oh, yeah. They're amazing. Like, I still use mm-hmm. Nice in my serum, but it did make people, I feel like it made a lot of people think, alongside skincare becoming a hobby, like, oh, I need all of these. I should try and use all these yeah. when possible.
Yeah.
And it made it very, you have to do your research, I think, with the ordinary, yeah. despite how simple they yeah. make it look, you know?
Yeah. If anybody's interested in like the behind the scenes of how that whole brand came to be, we were fortunate enough to have Brandon Truax on our show before his untimely passing. So I believe it was episode 17. It was quite a long time ago now, but if you want to go back in our archives and just sort of understand his genius and why he came up with it and his journey to start Deciem in the Ordinary, it was a really yeah. wonderful, fascinating chat, and I think your listeners might be interested.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I mean, it's such an iconic brand. I think yeah. as we said, they've completely changed just everything from how brands and like market their products to how consumers actually simply just read ingredient lists, you know? Like, they changed so many things, like, about the skincare realm and consumerism within yeah. skincare. It's insane. Oh, the majority for the better, I must say. And I think that anything that gets people interested in what they're putting on their skin, I think is mm-hmm. always a positive. So
when I think yeah. of The Ordinary, I think about the democratization of skincare. Like, that's what they contributed to yes. the world of beauty. And I think that influence has been, you know, has just been so far reaching in terms of like
yeah.
education, like the need for education and ingredient awareness and all of that.
Yeah.
Have you guys tried Absolutely. Typology? I feel like that's I feel like that's France's answer to The Ordinary. It's a pretty new line. It just launched in North America. I think it was earlier this month we talked about it on yeah. the show. Yeah. And it's kind of another good one to Google. It's kind of very apothecary style, single ingredient focused, really inexpensive. Yeah. But it's more like plant-based. Okay. And it's a little more chicer, the packaging, like it's like little brown yeah. square vials with like old school typewriter yeah. typing on it.
Yeah.
But yeah. you can get like, yeah. if you get one of their essences, it's like complete orange blossom and like, that's it. That's all that's in it.
Yeah.
And then they have,
so there's a, yeah.
you know, but they,
oh, sorry, I was going to say there's a very yeah. similar brand in Korea called One Thing that has okay. like the black lid, brown oh, yes. bottles.
Yeah. And it's like that singular ingredient focused. And then they have a great, very minimalist moisturizer. That's like 7-ingredient moisturizer. Mm. And it's just like glycerin and, you know, like the basic things that you need, but it's just,
but yeah. the packaging is like, if I went to France and I saw it in a store, I would buy it as a gift for Carlene. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, it's French pharmacy, but like on a different level of chicness.
Yeah.
It's
like, so I stick a flower beautiful. In it after,
yeah.
kind of
thing. It's like, exactly. it's like Byredo went and met up with, Byredo went and met up with, The Ordinary, and like they created a baby.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's French.
Oh, nice. Sounds good.
Yeah. yeah.
Write that one down too.
Yeah. Typology. Cheap, and it's cheap typology. And it's good. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that. I've actually seen a lot of the dermatologists I follow have been talking about.
I recognize the name.
I just recognize yeah. the description of the labels.
yeah. No, it's
amazing.
Good.
Should we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you and us being on your podcast.
Yeah,
too.
Go check Yay. Out that episode now over on the Breaking Beauty podcast, please. Yeah. We had a really good chat.
Yeah, we did.
It was
good. And it's nice to talk about celebrity things.
We had such a good chat. I couldn't stop talking and my Zoom thing, my card ran out. So.
Oh, did it? Oh, no.
I apologize for the
Zoom credit.
Audio quality. My Zoom. I couldn't stop talking and listening and having fun. Thank you, guys.
It was perfect. Thank you so much. And of course, we will link everything over on our Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
You know what we do. We do all of that.
We do this all the time.
yeah. Thank you so much again. And we will see you soon.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Well, that was perfect. So much fun. We could have spoke for hours and hours.
Thank you so much for joining us. Go ahead and check out Breaking Beauty Podcast. There are so many incredible guests on there. It's so nice to hear them talk and talk about their experiences.
Such a huge range as well, from influencers to brand founders. It's
some
incredible
people. So do go ahead and listen.
Including us.
Next is ridiculous. Us next is some people they speak to. It's so amazing. So go ahead and check that out. We will see you next week for another special guest. Also, we're diving a little bit more into the psychological side of trolling and hate comments and things like that next week. And why sometimes we just love to hate people. So we'll be talking about that next week and we will see you then. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.